KC versus New England, and the Rams versus the Saints. It's the Sportscast.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Very well.
Very, very well. To one up Barter. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Okay. Pretty well. Somewhere pretty in the well. Middle.
Yeah. Things are good. Good sports weekend. I don't know if it was a good sports weekend. I think we only really got one competitive game.
Yeah. The football was lame.
Yeah. The football wasn't that great. But, you know, NFL playoffs are always fun. And we get down to the final four teams. Which I think next weekend might be the best weekend for sports.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think it had to be not entertaining today to align the stars like this the way that they did.
Yeah.
Like, all these people are like, the best day in sports is the first day of the NCAA tournament. I'm like, the championship weekend of the NFL is way better than that.
Yeah. Well, it's the most saturated day of sports is the first day of the tournament. And I think it's fun if you're...
gambling?
Which everybody is.
Home, gambling, and watching hoops all day, eating pizza, and not doing anything. That sounds awesome.
Wonderful day.
But as far as, like, the competition, it's like Duke versus Coppin State. Okay, that's going to be 95 to 30. Right. That's not entertaining. Every once in a while, you'll get an 8-9 matchup or a 12-5. Maybe.
But you got it on every channel. You'll be hitting channels. One time a year, I hit up True TV. I don't know where these channels even come
from. I'm going championship weekend is my favorite day in sports. Two
conference championship weekend?
Yep. Yeah. Two great games every single time. You know, it's the best of the best. And I think what you notice in the NFL playoffs is you talk yourself into all these teams that sneak into the playoffs. But in reality, those teams with the byes are way better.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. That's what we saw.
And they just
I mean, it's 1-2 and 1-2, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And they pounded people for the most part. I know some of the games ended up closer. You have to realize that the Eagles were up 14-0 in their game
early
before losing 20-14. So they didn't do anything for the last 3.5 quarters. So,
and I will say, your prediction on the Chargers to do well,
not well enough.
Happened most of the season, and they got shit smoked today.
Yeah, they really did. So we'll talk more NFL playoffs here in a minute, but. Thanks for listening to the Nordies Podcast, and please go back, check out last week. We had three great episodes, including an interview with Craig Kilborn, Minnesota myth Craig Kilborn.
Yeah, the late night legend.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
He was great.
Shouts to him. Big thanks. It was so much fun.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. I have to admit, I think it went really well because he was so cool and he was just such an easy interview. Mm-hmm. It's a little clunky in what we talk about because he really wanted to talk about the NBA.
Yeah.
So we constantly...
It was pretty heavy on that.
We keep going NBA, so don't think it's only about the NBA. There's a lot of good stuff.
We get into like really crazy stories from his day and yeah.
Well, it's not like he's just talking out of his ass, right? I mean, he's a very knowledgeable source of that information, and
he's a host of SportsCenter. I mean, yeah, you got to take him serious.
Yeah, he knows sports inside and out, like, dude, way better than you think.
I was, as we were recording with that, and he was like giving his takes on like Tyus or something. I'm like, dude, there's no way he could have possibly heard our sportscast because it wasn't published yet. But literally half hour before that, Eric was giving the exact same take on Tyus. I'm like, how did he hear that?
Yeah,
we're looking at each other like, what?
So, go back, listen to that, and also go back to your phone, pull up your social media, follow the Nordies Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordies Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes. If you've already done that, I feel bad for you that you already follow us on all three of those things and you subscribe on iTunes and get it every week. But help spread the word then. If this isn't for you, if that section isn't for you, then help spread the word about your favorite podcast. The Nordies Podcast.
Please do, and thank you.
All right,
we did
guys.
Set listening records last week, so that's really nice. The three episodes helped, and the Craig helped, and it was a good week for us.
Yeah, good week. Thanks to you guys. Next up, the beer. We have a new beer in front of us. Visiting an old friend here. Haven't had much of their beer lately. What are we drinking?
They haven't made a lot of beer, technically,
different
lately.
Different styles of beer, yeah. They kind of...
They've made vodka-flavored beer, or no, gin-flavored beer. Mm-hmm. And then vodka-flavored beer in the form of a Moscow Mule.
Yeah. That's mostly what I remember from releases the
moose,
for them.
The moose claw or something like that, but that was like
moose
hearing
is moose knuckle, wasn't it?
No, nice try.
Lobster claw. I don't know what it was, but yeah. Anyways, this is Mega Dank Pot. This is their. They call it the full name, of course. My free 30-day trial of Mega Dank Pot. It's sort of like a big. They call it a double dry hopped, extra dank double IPA. I think it's a super good beer. It's really easy to drink, actually, for it being over 8% alcohol. And it looks beautiful. I love the color. It's like almost a little reddish and very clear.
Yeah, the color of the beer almost matches the can wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about those for a second?
Okay.
I mean,
what do you got to say?
Well, just like if you're going to do a random release that you haven't done a lot of like super cool beer releases
mm-hmm.
in mass.
Right.
Like this shit should be perfect. And like these wraps are just awful. Like they're barely stuck to the can on some parts. There's air bubbles. Like I don't know what's going on. I feel like you got to do a better job.
They're like mismatched a little bit. Yeah. The cans don't look great. In general, I'm a little worried about Insight and just what their plan is. And I hope we see them around in a year or 2 years. I don't know, but they might need to pivot a little bit what they're doing.
I like this beer, and I think that this is a pivot from them, and mm-hmm. I sure hope it is. It reminds me of what Inbound is doing,
mm-hmm.
and that is coming in with a cheaper version of some of the styles that people really like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I saw it for $8.99 for a 4-pack pack of Tall Boys.
Which is wonderful.
Of a double IPA. So, I mean, this is a big beer for them to make, and they put it out for dirt cheap compared to everybody else. Everyone else making
people
double
would
IPAs.
Double for this.
Would charge double of that. So, mm-hmm. to me, I think that is their pivot, and I think that's exactly where they should be headed. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, we make really good beer. We make really quality beer. We have been doing it for a while. We have beers from all over the world, or at least that's kind of their thing, like their travels, you know,
mm-hmm.
define what they make. But this is what I want to see from them.
Yeah, this one's from Oregon. I think.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
So I want to see this from them, though. And then I want to see them try fun styles, and I want them to come in at a lower price point and just say, hey, you're going to go get that really expensive beer from such and such
and
place.
And fuck you if you complain about our stickers.
And then,
because this was $9.
Yeah,
that's true.
And then,
that's
true. I know, right?
And then you're going to come and get us for the second 4-pack because we're making cool beers that are good and it's much cheaper.
Well, think about it. If you, so let's say you went from like a, let's call it an A-minus beer from Brewery A,
mm-hmm.
and then you got a B beer from Brewery B, mm-hmm. But the Brewery B beer is $8 cheaper for 4 tall boys.
Yep.
I think you're going to go that route 9 times out of 10.
Yep.
Maybe 8 times
out of
10.
Dude, it's funny. Like, you know, some big crazy double dry hopped thing from Modest that costs $18, I'm probably more likely to go grab another 4-pack of this Mega Dank Pot for the price, right?
Yes. Like I said, this is the perfect second 4-pack.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great place to be because most people are like, I'm going to go get beer once or twice a week. I can't just, you know, go every day. Mm-hmm. And so
you need to have
some beers in your fridge.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, you can, one.
You need to have some other beers in your fridge, though, and this is a great second 4-pack. That's what I'm going to give it.
I'm going to give it 2 out of 2 4-packs. Mm-hmm.
Just quick tips. If you are going to go every day, you need to like mix up the liquor stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just kind of make a lap around the city.
I do.
I heard. but no, Eric, I completely agree. I love your second 4-pack because Modest, I think, has the plan of like, well, you're only going to buy one. And when you buy one, like 2 days later, it's all going to be gone anyway. So right. We already got the money.
Yep.
Insight's like, well, we're just going to make this stuff awesome. There's going to be tons of it. It's going to be at every liquor store in town.
Mm-hmm.
Buy as much as you want, and we'll continue to make it until it sells out. So I think that
mm-hmm.
is advantageous to them as well because availability, and this is one of the things that we've talked about, especially with breweries that make good beer like Junkyard or even the Modest, like the Shook stuff, where it's like one can and limit two mm-hmm. and they're $10 a piece and all that stuff. I feel like We dove into that real hard and we were part of the problem. And now we need to find out, like, we need to find a middle ground between this, like between availability and price and quality.
Yep.
And hopefully the industry is like correcting itself and maybe companies like Insight that may undercut that a little bit.
That might help.
Is a good thing.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So good job by you, Insight. I like this. Definitely go grab it as your second 4-pack.
Keep making cool one-offs, guys.
Dude, we need to take the idea of Tom Green's pizza delivery service, which was Undercutter's Pizza. We need to make Undercutter's Brewery.
Yes.
And we'll just take, we'll make the same beer, the same style, and then we'll just sell it for $2 cheaper.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. That's a deep reference to Tom Green.
Yeah, it is. All right, guys, time to jump into our sports cast. And we have to start just quickly talking about an anticlimactic, but I guess still exciting, national championship game where Clemson took Alabama to the woodshed in front of the whole world and absolutely pounded them, made a bunch of first-round picks, moved to second-round picks, and, you know, is trying to establish themselves as the premier program in college football.
Be hard to argue with two in a row.
And fuck Alabama anyways.
So is it two in a row?
Didn't they win last year too?
No, Alabama won last year.
So then they won the year before then.
They won the year before.
So they've gone, they've leapfrogged. It's every other year with them.
Yeah.
But, dude, Clemson did to Alabama what Alabama has done to so many teams. So it's hard to say Alabama's off the map now. I mean, mm-hmm. their QB didn't play very well. Probably his worst game.
Has that hurt his draft? Ever. Or is he going to stick around at Alabama?
He's only a sophomore, so I don't think he can even... He's not even Tua? Eligible. Yeah. Or is he a junior?
He's a sophomore.
Yeah.
Is so he going to draft?
He's not even eligible.
Okay. He's got to play one more year.
You can't.
And then Lawrence, the quarterback, the long-haired quarterback from Clemson, is only a freshman.
Oh, my God.
He's 18 years crazy. Old. And he dominated the national championship game. So I have to say, tough look for the Alabama could beat the Raiders people.
Yeah.
Tough look for them because I guess if Alabama could beat the Raiders, then Clemson would be playing in the Final Four. They would have beat the Saints today, and they would have been probably playing there. So
yeah.
Tough look for those people who think that a bunch of college kids where maybe six of them will play professionally could beat a team of fucking professionals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
I didn't know that was a thing, but I see that you've manufactured the outrage, and I appreciate it.
Well, they're always like, the Browns would look like when the Browns were so bad, they'd be like, could Alabama beat the Browns? I'm like, fuck no. Are you kidding me? No, they would lose by four touchdowns.
Wait, who's the QB for the Browns? Because that
doesn't
matters.
Matter.
Who cares? Because if the QB for the Browns played in college football, he'd be one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Like, the guys.
Which quarterback?
The guy. No, but, just, but think about it.
Give me a name, all right?
Think about it. Like, guys who are bad quarterbacks in the NFL were
better than everybody
else by
far.
Dominant quarterbacks in
right. That's how they college. Got a starting spot. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, to me, when we're like, oh, Brock Osweiler sucks. It's like, yeah, Brock Osweiler fucking tore college up. He would be great if he went out there. He would be reading defenses at a level that no college kid could because he's been doing it in the pros for a while.
There you go. Brock Osweiler, elite. Be picking him apart out there.
He would
now that I'd like to see. I think he might take that option to go back to college.
I would pay money though. Like I would pay a pay-per-view for at the end of the year, the national champion to play the last place team. I would pay
$100.
No, but I think I'd play $19.99.
Okay.
To watch them play, and it would be a bloodbath, and the pro team would
then
kill
them. Everybody would shut the fuck up about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. They would play one game. First of all, I think. Anybody that was remotely eligible for the draft
would not play.
Right. Like, what's the point? Or there's the people that are like on the bubble if you're going to get drafted and they're going to be super try hard mode. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they could injure some professionals and it would be a bad thing.
Let's set that up. I think that's where the money is in
a couple of years. The Vikings might be playing that game. Just watch out.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, let's move on to
that was kind of low.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to hurt. Eric's feelings.
Yeah. We can't
we're
have that.
15 minutes in. Come on. we need 45 more minutes of energy out of him. And you're going to chop one leg off.
Let's move on to the NFL playoffs. So this weekend.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Talking about playoffs.
I knew that was coming. Let's start in. Chiefs and the Colts was the first
yesterday,
game.
Yesterday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the snow. And the Chiefs won pretty handily. I think the score at the end looked closer than the game was. But Mahomes had a big day. They didn't give up a first down for like a quarter and a half.
They couldn't do anything. Colts couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Finally,
and that was the big knock against the Chiefs. Is like, well, they can't defend. This is going to be a shootout. And then it turns out the Chiefs are pretty good defensively.
Yeah. Good pass rushers.
Yeah, they're looking awesome.
Yeah, they look great. So they look like, you know, at this point, I guess they're all kind of favorites to win the Super Bowl when it's down to four teams.
Right.
But, they have home field in the next round. And
I'd say the odds are even that one of them will win the Super Bowl. That's, I mean.
One of the four. Well, yeah, here's a crazy stat. This is the first year in a decade that either Peyton Manning or Tom Brady hasn't been the number one seed in the AFC.
Crazy.
Okay. That's good.
In a
good.
Decade, that's Tom wild. Brady yes, and Peyton Manning
I want,
have been the number one seed the Patriots every to go out. Single year for a decade. And a few times before that as well. So pretty much the AFC has been completely dominated by those two quarterbacks. Mahomes is on the scene. He should be the MVP, and I'm willing to battle anyone on that because it's not a lifetime achievement award for Drew Brees. Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. It's been done like one other time in the history of the league.
But that completion percentage, that's what they keep talking about
if
with Drew
you
Brees.
Gave him, if you, here's my biggest thing. If Mahomes had 80% of his production...
This went from like playoff talk to Eric's soapbox on MVP.
I love it.
Go ahead.
If he would have had 80% of his production, he still would have led the league in passing touchdowns.
Okay.
He was 11 more than second place.
All right.
They're going to give it to Drew Brees. It's going to be
think
absurd.
They will?
For sure.
Well, he's never gotten it, right? So it's sort of like Leo won for The Revenant, and nobody even really liked that movie.
Yeah, that's
if they're being honest with themselves.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Okay. It's crazy. Mahomes had one of the greatest of all time, one of the all-time great seasons. He had the highest scoring fantasy season in the history of fantasy football.
Okay.
His stats are just out of this world, and he dominated his team, got the number one seed in the AFC, dethroning Tom Brady's reign. And
he's got the second funniest voice of any starting quarterback, which I love. He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Who's first?
Luck.
Colts.
Your boy.
Luck.
Because like Andrew Luck sounds like this. I really had a good game.
You guys have to look this up. And I know
I know what you're going to say. Captain Andrew Luck's Twitter account? Oh,
no. There's something so funny. Everyone needs to look this up. Andrew Luck is being interviewed. I don't know how recent it is. I think it's recent. And he swears. And he's so upset that he swore. Like,
mortified?
He's mortified. He's beyond himself. They're talking to him, and he is just looking off into the distance, like, he's disappointed in himself. So he's
like, this interview is over, guys.
Yeah, they're talking to him, and they're like asking about some player, and he's like, yeah, you know, he's just a guy. He goes out there and he just makes fucking plays.
Destroys him.
Makes plays. I'm really sorry. And then he just like looks off into the distance, like so disappointed.
They
in
get
himself.
A cue, like the emotional Dude, music and the zoom.
Pause it. Hello, darkness, yeah. my old friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's where he's at. So
that's pretty good.
In the other AFC game, the Patriots dismantled Chargers. Phillip Rivers moves to 0-8 all time against Tom Brady.
That's pretty rough, dude. He did not look good.
The handshake at midfield after the game was over was a little bit awkward because you could tell like Brady was like, "Hey, man, you know, great season," and Rivers is like, "Again?" Like,
yeah.
he was just like, "Ah, oh, God,
yeah,
so tired of being on the losing end of this." And but that was the game where the score does not reflect how. Absolutely over that game.
They put up 35 points in the first half or something, and then they could coast.
It was just an abomination.
I don't know how that would no comeback would have been possible.
No,
Yeah.
It was a
short of three onside recovered onside kicks.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, so once again we get the Patriots. They're on the road this time. So let me just tell you guys, I've seen the future, and this is what happens. So next week, Patriots come out, they take the lead. Chiefs fight back. They take the lead late in the game, like with like 4 minutes to go. Tom Brady chops their defense up, goes all the way down the field. Andy Reid blows all his fucking timeouts because he's an idiot.
Horrible end game coach. Yep.
And he'll like mess up the clock so badly. He'll leave Kermit the Frog and co. the best offense in the league with like 17 seconds to try to come down and win the game, and they won't be able to.
Okay.
And the Patriots, once again, will move on because that's football.
That's what they do.
The only thing I would say in rebuttal to that is like, so you have playoff Patriots, but then I think Tom has always like struggled at Arrowhead.
Yeah, the Chiefs have had their number the last few
at
years.
At Arrowhead.
Yeah, not as bad as Miami, right?
Yeah. Not at New England, because we know that shootout this season was awesome. Like, it was unbelievable to watch. But Brady has never really played that well at Arrowhead, and it's going to be, I mean, Arrowhead is one of the, Eric loves it, but like it's one of the most notoriously consistently loud stadiums to play in.
Loudest stadium in the NFL.
And it's loud all game. It's not just like, oh, it's third down. Now we're going to like Vikings fans here. Like, oh, we've been told to stand up. I have to stand up.
Yeah.
It's loud all the time. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be cold. So that might mitigate a little bit, but it's also...
Do you still think the Patriots are going through, though?
I still think Patriots by three.
Yeah. I think that
I'm going to go Patriots by seven just to be a little different.
I think that the Vikings have some of the very best fans in the NFL. I really mean that. Right. Because if you go down south, they don't give a fuck. They love college football. Mm-hmm. You know, and like if you go out to some other places, they literally don't have good fan bases at all.
Like LA, huge town, massive population, go to the games.
They're all Lakers fans.
Literally, the Vikings have a huge fan base, huge ratings. They love football here. We love the Vikings. So they're great. And the Chiefs fans are better. I mean, really and truly, of all the places I've been, the Chiefs have the best fans, the loudest fans. And
do they have any Super Bowls in their day?
Like Super Bowl III against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
They own the Vikings.
Yeah. Mm. So
that was the Gatorade year, wasn't it? The lore that
really
that, that's what that it was is? The first year that Gatorade was given to NFL players, and the Chiefs had it, and the Vikings didn't, or something like that.
Oh my God! Stop. Electrolytes won the whole thing.
They won it.
Yeah, so I'm really heavy for the Chiefs. Their fans deserve it. They're a cool team. They
Andy
Reid
kind of deserves it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andy Reid, he's never got
one. But like you look at like Andy Reid is like a offensive coach, a D minus end game coach, and mm-hmm. Belichick's an A across the board. So that usually matters quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Will Mahomes have the magic? I don't know. I hope so.
Probably. It might just not be enough. Yeah.
You never know. I'm rooting for the Chiefs, though.
Right. On the other side, you had the L.A. Rams beat the Cowboys. I think everyone in the world was happy to see that because, really, who likes the Cowboys?
Right.
If I had to hear Aikman call another Fox Cowboys game and see shots of Jerry Jones every fucking 15 minutes, mm-hmm. I was going to throw my TV in the garbage.
Is it next to fucking Bon Jovi? Is that what that was? Yeah. No, that was the Patriots game.
Well,
love the Rams are moving on.
I love the new thing with the Rams here because I love McVay. I wish he was our coach. Everyone loves McVay. Mm-hmm. He's an offensive mastermind. But here's my favorite thing about it. He literally, if you just know him at this point, you are going to get a head coaching job. So his quarterback's coach, can't think of his name now, Zach Taylor, I think is his name. He just got the job as the head coach for the Bengals.
Zach Taylor sounds like he's 17.
Yeah, yeah he's right. probably 30 years old. So he just got the job with the Bengals. The new coach of the Packers, can't think of his name. He was
LeFleur.
Yeah, he was the OC for the Titans this year, but he coached with McVay the year before. So another McVay buddy.
Also, I love that hire because their offense under him actually got worse. I know. So I think that's a great hire for the Packers.
And then the other one, Kingsbury was the Texas A&M coach. He got fired from Texas A&M.
Texas Tech.
Then he took the OC job with USC before he ever got to do anything with them. He got offered the head coaching job with the Cardinals. He also had worked with Sean McVay. And the best thing ever is in the press release that the Cardinals put out, it said he is friends with Sean McVay.
Like that gives him some kind of pedigree.
Yeah.
Like once ate at the same restaurant as Sean McVay.
If you know
Sean McVay's third grade classmate actually got an interview for special teams coordinator of the Browns.
There was eight.
In football at all, but
there were eight jobs open, and I feel like all of the jobs were like, all right, so thanks for being here today. Can you please tell
how
us about...
How do you know Sean McVay?
Yeah, can you please tell us about your relationship with Sean McVay? How well you know him? How many times you've worked with him? Have you ever stayed at the same place as him?
Have you ever gone out to eat and ordered the same thing?
Yeah.
Do you believe in osmosis?
Right? Have you touched him?
Yeah. Literally, that is where we're at with the NFL right now. So it's fun to see him and his exciting style of coaching and offense making it so deep into the playoffs. So that's fun. And then in a game of two teams that I just can't stand, the Saints beat the Eagles. They were down big early. Big Dick energy ran
big
out.
Big Dick Nick. Yep. Didn't you say Big Nick Dick?
Anyway,
that's enough. Let's move on.
I would say, I don't know about the legend of his dick anymore, though. Because he did throw an INT when it was in clutch time.
Yeah,
well, maybe it was more of a medium dick.
He threw it right on the button.
Yeah.
Big dick energy ran out.
Right through.
I know, but if the power of the dick should actually go to the receiver, it should transfer.
Maybe it was too big. That's why the ball came too fast.
You're probably right. It's backfiring. His dick is actually backfiring.
So he loses. It's great to see the Eagles go out, but
fuck the Eagles.
It does suck to see the Saints.
I actually was rooting for the Eagles, to be honest.
I was too. I found myself
I really hate the Saints. It's true. They suck.
I feel the same way. I wanted so badly to cheer against the Eagles, but the whole game I was like, please kill them Eagles.
Yeah.
I hate the Saints. I hate Sean Payton. And it looked good
too. They were up by two scores. I'm like, or two touchdowns. I'm like, all right.
So yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting. Two big offenses. Week 9, the Saints beat the Rams 45-35. So a rematch from week 9 should be a lot of fun. And the big thing to notice here, like the big trend in the NFL is offense and big play callers, like great play callers. You have Sean Payton, who's one of the best. You have Andy Reid, who's one of the best. You have Sean McVay, who's one of the best. And you have Josh McDaniels, who's one of the best. So four of the best play callers in the entire NFL.
So by the way, you know, you'd like to quote that Sean Payton wrote that super douchey book, right?
Yeah.
I actually looked up the title of it.
Yeah.
And it was Home Team, colon, How I Coached the Saints and New Orleans Back to Life. So yeah, pretty much when you paraphrase and you're like, how I saved the city, I mean, he put it right there.
He's the fucking worst. He's so bad.
I think we actually talked about this on a pod where you weren't here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
did you say the name of it? Because I had never actually heard it. Yeah, I looked it up today.
I pulled it up on Amazon.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I was as shocked as you were. Like, okay, he's intimating that he put the city, basically saved the city.
Revived New Orleans.
Like, if it wasn't for him... And then the team, like secondarily,
yeah, right.
They were just kind of along for the ride.
Yep.
New Orleans would still be in the toilet.
Yep. Him in the Superdome.
I don't even like New Orleans. I don't even like Louisiana. I don't even really like the South.
New Orleans is a beautiful city,
and so I hate them, and I can't wait. I know they're going to beat the Rams next week, and it's going to be the Saints and the Patriots, and I'm going to cheer for the Patriots second straight year.
Wow.
For the second straight year.
I won't even want to watch that.
I was at the game last year. I cheered for the Patriots, who I fucking hate, and I wish would never go to the playoffs ever again. I cheered for them against the Eagles, and of course, the time I actually cheered for the Patriots, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to happen this year. I think the Saints beat the Rams, the Patriots beat the Chiefs, and we get the Saints over the Patriots.
It would just be nice to have some different blood in there. I know everyone's like, so here's what usually happens is, let's say the Chiefs win and they're going to play the Saints. Doesn't matter. The Chiefs get blown out because they're not ready. Mahomes looks overwhelmed. Like he doesn't look like he belongs, right? Because he's only a second year starter, right? And then everyone's like, see, this is what you get when you want new blood. If you wanted the best game, you want the veterans. You want the Tom Brady's in there.
Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, they're both over 40 years old. Get them out of here.
But that's what we're going to hear.
It is dieable age already, so we can have a new NFL.
How exciting would a Goff versus Mahomes?
Absolutely.
It would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely better.
It would be way better for the NFL to have two guys in there.
Do you think that would get better ratings?
Who cares if it does? It would be a better game. It'd be so good for the league. You want to know what they can't do? You can't.
I think yes, just to answer your question real quick, because you'd have LA, you have a lot of the West Coast in on that game. I think with Mahomes and Goff, you'd have a much younger crowd that would be more interested in this game as opposed to the stalwarts, Tom and Drew, at it again.
I honestly, I think it would be so much better. You can't have all of your star players be old guys. And so this would be best for the league.
Who do you think the NFL wants, realistically?
Patriots and the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. LA versus Boston.
East Coast, West Coast.
That'd be great for them.
That'd be good, too. That'd be fun with that.
We think of New Orleans as a massive market, but market size, they're actually the 28th. Biggest market in the NFL. They're a tiny market.
But you got to think in terms of fantasy football. How recognizable are a lot of these players?
Todd Gurley.
No.
Todd Gurley versus Tom Brady.
I'm just saying that I realize the Saints' local market isn't quite as big, but they're pretty well nationally known. They play a lot of nationally televised games.
I don't think that they can do wrong with any of the teams that are left.
There's a lot of places in the country that don't have a team that just grab some popular teams. So Saints have a lot of fans all over.
Chiefs have a ton of fans. They take all the people in the middle
in the Midwest.
Of the
they swallow all of Nebraska and South Dakota.
If the Vikings disappeared, I'd like the Chiefs. They're cool.
There's part of me that kind of wants that to, if that happened, and it'd be like, oh, we got to be Chiefs fans. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah. I'm down with it. I like the red, the
we're
yellow.
We're going to have to drive down there a couple times.
It's going
to
be.
We might do that anyways.
We're going to be in the AFC. Things are different.
Because don't we play, Vikings play them, right?
Yeah, we're going.
The Chiefs, we're going.
So we're going. 100%.
It's a Nordy's field trip.
Hey, any listeners out there that want to come with, you hit us up.
Yeah, we'll go in a caravan.
We'll judge you each one and decide if it's okay.
We got a big bus.
A bus thing or whatever.
We took a bus down there with our fans.
All right,
and then
y'all got to chip in.
You guys,
both
all,
of them.
You pay for it.
Yeah,
you pay for it and sleep in sleeping bags.
Perfect. No, we'll. Here's the deal.
We'll get the whole trip sponsored.
No, we'll invite Craig.
Oh,
now that we
Craig.
Know him,
yeah,
we'll have Craig come.
Craig's buddies. We're gonna get drinks with Craig someday.
We'll see if Craig wants to go. He said he loved Kansas City.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. You're right. All right, guys, time to move on to the Vikings. They had some news this week. First off, they finally got rid of Mike Prefer.
I don't think they got rid of him.
Well, they wanted to bring him back.
They are rid of him.
He's gone. They actually had a better year on special teams than we like to think. But I think it's his time here had just run its course. And it's probably for the better that he's gone. He survived saying that they should put all the gays on an island and nuke it. And we brought that up so many times.
Yeah.
But we don't have to bring it up anymore because he's no longer part of the team. They're going to get some fresh blood.
Is there anyone happier than Chris Cluey?
No, he's pissed because he just went to the Browns. He picked his job.
Yeah.
I guess he's a Cleveland guy. Like, that's sort of where he's from for most of his life.
I mean,
it was always like a going home thing.
You know, it wasn't... He went from special teams coordinator to special teams coordinator.
Yeah,
lateral move. Yeah. I mean, maybe he got a pay raise.
I wonder if the Vikings offered him here's your pay raise, and it was like $1,000 more per year.
It was like the cost of living pay raise that everyone gets. Like, fuck you.
Well, here's the thing. He is gone, and so now I can't think of the guy's name, but both the Vikings and the Packers are trying to interview the special teams coordinator
for Miami.
From Miami.
Yeah.
He was, I believe he got at least one interview for a head coaching job, so he's the guy we want. It would suck to lose him to the Packers, but yeah, I mean, that's what I think they're after right now. The other big news, after coming up just short as a finalist for the Browns head coaching job, which he was not qualified to have, Kevin Stefanski is back as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, which
I think your guys' thoughts on this. I don't know what to think at all.
I think it's a win-win for Kevin Stefanski and for the Vikings.
Okay. Why?
I think continuity wins out a little bit more in this case.
Really?
I think
more of the same garbage, though, isn't it, sort of?
Well, but he's not going to do the DeFilippo stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit different. It'll probably be some sort of a blend between some of what DeFilippo was trying to do and a lot of what Pat Shurmur was doing. So it'll probably go back in time, maybe a year, you know, two seasons to what Shurmur was calling, and maybe, you know, Stefanski's vision of that with a little bit of DeFilippo, but I think it's going to be a lot more Shurmur, like heavy in terms of what he learned. And then I think having not some random guy that just got brought in that's trying to implement all this new stuff will be good for Kirk and the receivers, that they're not learning new stuff on the fly. We're not like, because if let's say they brought in somebody,
they have a whole offseason.
Let's say they brought in the OC for the Rams, just for the sake of argument, right? And now this guy's like, okay, all the stuff we're going to be learning is all different and all new. And when you have personnel that have been around for a little while, other than Kirk Cousins, I think the continuity aspect is a lot better, because then you can actually focus on getting better at what you already know, and you can do that very well, as opposed to like, okay, we just got to learn the basics of this shit before we start learning, like
during the season,
right?
And then
exactly.
And honestly, we all like to point back to Pat Shurmur before he got his head coaching job with the Giants, that he was so good. But the year before when he was here, the O-line was almost as bad as it was this year, and his offense looked horrible.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you can't protect the quarterback.
Yeah, I thought Pat Shurmur got, like, fired when I first heard about him. Like, that makes sense. They fired him. Like, our offense was going horribly. He's like, no, he actually got a huge promotion. Like, he's out of here.
Yeah, and so to me, I think that, like, even when I was at the Bears game, and I know the Bears have a great defense, and they just dominated us up front, I kept hearing fans, and I kept seeing online people being like, Cousins needs to step up in the pocket. And I was like, what pocket? Like, literally all four of their guys are beating all five of our guys on almost every play.
Yeah.
And there just isn't. And so until that line gets better, we won't really be able to judge Stefanski or Cousins or a lot of the offense, because you have to be able to protect your quarterback. And, you know, teams like the Saints, who do a great job of that, are proving that in the playoffs here. So,
well, even if you take out the Chiefs game, you look at that, like, that Colts O-line. Especially in the Texans game, and it was like, oh my God, that's what a pocket looks like. That's what it looks like when they're like filtering the ends to the outside, the three techniques taken care of, and then they got a double team in the middle, no big deal, right? And
then are you a head coach? That was amazing.
But then you see our line.
I don't even know what that meant, but I was like so impressed.
Then you see our line, and you're like, oh yeah, we can't really block anybody.
You see our guys like getting pushed over, literally.
Like, we have three running backs just trying to pick up the blitzes.
To me, it's so funny, though, when people are like, Cousins needs to step up. And I'm like, into what? Because the two tackles are coming
right at him up the middle,
and the ends are coming around the outside. there's nowhere for him to go. And you could tell he was so rattled by the end of the year that you weren't getting even close to the best Cousins.
No.
So hopefully we can get that next year, and hopefully Stefanski's the guy to do that. Last piece, they're going to interview the O-line coach of the Packers and the associate head coach and offensive coordinator of the
Joe Philbin.
Yeah. So two guys. I don't know the O-line coach, but they're going to interview both of them to be the O-line coach here. Hopefully we get one of those guys.
They can come over here and teach us how to do like legal holding like the Packers have been doing for the last 10 years. That's literally what they try and do.
And also they can come teach us how to develop linemen because the Packers have been fantastic at that.
They get somebody that's super like under the radar and all of a sudden anything
they touch turns into a good lineman. I mean, they've built a bunch of Pro Bowlers and All Pros the last few years, out of a lot of low picks too. And so, I mean, it's exciting to see. Hopefully the Vikings, the NFL is great. I mean, literally your team gets knocked out, you're disappointed, and then you're like, oh, it's so great, just hired a new coordinator. I mean, like a week later, it's just already full, you know.
I love it.
It's great. They do a great job with that.
I'm not mad. I'm enjoying it. I'm watching a lot more of these games than I thought I would. I watch football all day. It was wonderful.
Right. And then then before we know it, the draft will be here.
Yep. And that's always a good time.
And so, then we'll draft another linebacker with our first round pick. We're right back to where we always are.
So here's the thing. A lot of coaching changes going on with the Vikings, but also a big coaching change going on with the Timberwolves. And that is because as we were recording last week, or just as we got off the air.
I think it was an hour after we hung up with Craig.
Tom Thibodeau finally gets the boot with the Wolves. Kind of awkward timing.
Yeah.
Coming off a huge win.
They had won two in a row. Huge win at home against the Lakers, LeBron-less Lakers. But yeah, and then like later that night, and nobody knew about it. Like from what you hear, like,
it was after the game.
They called, they called Kat, who was like getting ready to go out to Topgolf or something. And he was shocked. Everybody was surprised.
I think everyone, in that vein,
think everyone thought it was going to happen at the end of the year.
Right. That's what I thought.
They're just like, let him see out the year.
Well, it was going to be like, you know, if he somehow puts everything together and they make some kind of playoff run, maybe. Otherwise, he's gone. And I loved it that they're like, no, fuck off.
This is not working. I love this move.
It's the first Glenn Taylor move where you're like, all right, finally, you grab your set of stones and you made the right decision for the team.
The funny thing is, to me, it's like the second. The first one was like, hiring Tibbs, I was like all about it.
Yep. But
everybody was. They're like, because he had sort of his choice of some places to go, and nobody comes to the Wolves, right? I mean, historically, we can't get free agents. We don't get the best coaches. Nobody wants to come here. It's cold, and our team is historically horrible. So I thought that was amazing, and boy, did he strike out.
I think the hire was still good for all intents and purposes. I think the hire was still good. I think giving him Prez of Ops was the downfall because we talked about that all summer about how president can't make the same decision as the coach because one's working for the franchise, the other's working for his job.
It would have been nice if he was honestly just president of basketball operations and not coach, because then the team probably would have developed the young guys with some other coach, probably played a lot better, people would have been happy to play, and he could have maybe made a deal for Butler still, even without being the coach. Got Butler and kept him happy with us winning and trying.
I don't think
harder.
He can be happy because if you've heard, he's already unhappy with his role with the Sixers. So he's on his way to burning down.
It's so
down
funny
his
how
team.
Like he's like,
which he also doesn't care about because he's on a 1 year deal there too.
Well, but he like denies all this stuff. It's like, dude, this literally keeps happening. Like people aren't making these stories up. It's fucking you.
Yeah, dude.
Like you're not the locker room lawyer that you think you are.
I mean, it's
like,
three teams in a row, dude. I'm
you're
sorry.
Just an asshole.
Yeah.
How about it's like the Key and Peele skit where it's like you're not persecuted, you're just a huge asshole. Like, oh, I guess I am.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that situation. And I think I don't, maybe if Tibbs had just been the coach and we would have had Layden and maybe someone else as president of operations, things may have been a little bit differently. I don't know if we would have gotten Butler at that point in time, so maybe the playoff run never would have happened, who knows. Like all of those things could not have ended up the way that they did, but I totally agree with your take, Jim, that you know, hiring him, we were so excited, finally added like legitimacy. We had just picked Kat. You know, we finally got the number one pick, right? When it had always been like, oh yeah, Wolves got the fourth pick, even though they had the most ping pong balls in there. So things were feeling like they were kind of turning our direction. And then this summer happened.
So I'm excited. Ryan Saunders is the
interim
head coach. Yeah. He's 32 years old. I'm excited about it. He's at least trying. He might not be ready, but he's at least trying to bring like a modern approach to it. If you guys heard in practice, they had a scrimmage where all long twos were negative points.
Yeah, I heard that. That was really cool.
And just the
fucking
idea of
brilliant.
Like,
whereas yeah. Tibbs would be like, "Great shot. That's the high percentage shot. 52%
Hey,
from
Cat,
there.
Take one dribble in from 3-point line next time. Come on.
Like, so you'll just get a little more open that way. You see?
I mean, like literally, we're just trying to move into 2019 with the NBA.
We're trying to move into like 2013.
Yeah. And you know, we're 2 of 3. Won that big opening game. I mean, that was super cool against OKC. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins has in all three games has played hard and played very well. So maybe that's a thing now. That's a new thing.
Well, the thing that the old sports writers that you hear from like don't really understand is like, well, maybe you need a millennial voice to talk to the millennials. Like, okay, maybe you just need someone that's not a fucking blowhard stomping up and down the sideline screaming. Like, the most successful team in the last 5 years has been arguably the Golden State Warriors, right?
Not arguably.
What does Steve Kerr do during most games? Sits down.
Lets his players, like, write up plays and shit.
Like, folds his arms.
Yeah.
And then is, like, calls a timeout every twice a half.
And then he's like, hey, great job, everybody.
Like, Steph, maybe your
three's
not...
How's your mom doing?
Yeah, your three's not falling, but you know what? You're really passing the ball well. Like, right. Okay, yeah, that works. Like,
just pump him up.
The, like, hitting him on the back of the head, like, with the beer bottle mentality that Tibbs brought, like, doesn't work with young guys like Cat and Wiggins. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think it works unless you're some proven amazing coach, no matter what. So, like, he kind of had to do... Tibbs had to do a lot of winning before he got to that, and instead he was just, like, an asshole who lost a lot. So... probably not going to pay off. I'd be curious to see what kind of coaching career lies ahead for him.
Well, he's not going to do anything because I think we still owe him like $20 million. No, so he'll just like sit on his hands.
Yeah, we owe him a lot of money. I think it's not public, but we might have paid him like $44 million.
I think the only way that he gets back in is if just a really stupid team is like, oh, we should take Tibbs again. I mean, like,
you think he'd be taking an assistant coach job or some kind of...
Oh, God, no.
No.
Yeah.
I think he's done. Yeah, so there you go. Wolves, well, at least, are interesting. You know, at very least, they're entertaining.
It's been such a fucking roller coaster of a season.
Well, and did you hear?
I mean, the highs of coming into the season, the lows of Jimmy Butler, you know, whatever the whole drama he caused,
the fiasco
the high of him leaving, and then getting Rocco, who was great. We win all these games coming off it. The lows of, oh shit, no, we just still do suck, and now the highs again of like firing to it's. Absolutely crazy.
Did you hear some of the people calling in, like to some of the local sports radio shows, saying they're so glad Tibbs is gone because they will enjoy going to Target Center again, not hearing him screaming and swearing?
Like,
I mean, some of them were like,
he's a walrus.
He's like, I'm my kids, I know they've heard this stuff on the buses. I understand, but I also don't want to put them in these positions where they're hearing like an NBA coach F-bombing this and F you and all this stuff and like screaming at referees. Like, that's not the message I want to teach my kids moving forward.
Point.
So I think overall for the Wolves franchise, just in general, like not even just for the players, but just in general, I think this is a positive step.
Yeah. Jim Pete on the Raised by Wolves podcast, which don't listen to that podcast, just listen to ours. Great guest, by the way. That'd be amazing to get him.
Yeah.
He was so open about it. He was like, dude, Tibbs was holding the entire organization, everybody that worked for the Wolves or around the Wolves hostage. He was a total like negative influence on everybody. Everybody was walking on eggshells. No one was happy during his tenure.
Crazy.
He was totally honest about the whole situation. And they're like, and everybody is now breathing like this big sigh of relief where it's like, at least we'll enjoy our lives. And with that, we'll probably become very positive things.
Well,
so,
imagine if your boss...
I feel great about it.
If your boss one day like had a bad day and tried to throw a fucking monitor through his office window.
Right.
Would you ever not walk on eggshells around him?
Right.
Like, for the rest of his tenure?
Yeah, the temper tantrum stuff is
crazy.
And
that's one of the things out of probably many that we heard about, right?
Right.
I'm sure there's lots of
that
other...
That was like a leak. It must have been tyrannical every day.
Right. Like, dressing down people, you know, like, just verbally abusing them. Like, I can't imagine that he's just... that way on the court, and then off the court it's like, hey Carl, how are you doing, you know, let's go have a steak for, you know, I can't imagine he's like that at all.
Yeah,
I loved seeing Towns put up 27 and 27 against the best big man in the league.
Yep,
hell yeah.
I know that, you know, Davis,
is there any argument that Towns could be better than Davis?
I don't think he could.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he can. No. I thought he could. He can't.
Maybe
Davis
someday.
Is really fucking good.
Let's give Towns a year under someone not named Tom Thibodeau and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I know he had that with, what's his name? the guy
Sam Mitchell.
After Flip, Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But let's see him develop under someone with like a real modern NBA mind.
Yep.
Let's see.
All right, guys. Lastly, Minnesota Twins making some moves.
Ooh, big moves.
What?
We signed Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and no, I'm kidding.
Nobody.
No, the Twins operate under this obviously salary depressing structure where they try and, you know, minimize any dollar that they don't have to pay the players. So a lot of players were up for arbitration this season. I think we actually only had one or two players signed to contracts prior to these players agreeing. So a couple big names on here, Byron Buxton, Kyle Gibson, Max Kepler, Trevor May, relief pitcher, Jake Odorizzi, Taylor Rogers, another relief pitcher, Eddie Rosario, and Miguel Sano all agreed to one-year pre-arbitration deals with the Minnesota Twins. And that's big because a few of those guys are, you know, potential superstars. A few of those guys are like, especially Rosario, is like fringe kind of elite outfielder, especially like hitting wise.
Yeah.
Was really the only person carrying us offensively last season. So not going all the way through arbitration where the Twins are like, no, we're not going to pay you. We're going to pay you $20,000 less. Mm-hmm. Like really pisses off players, especially in an organization like this. So it's good that we have some of our young guys signed to at least the deal for the season so that they don't have to worry about that going into spring training,
yeah.
Which I know it sounds weird, but that's like 2 months away. So,
oh yeah, that's
I know you guys don't really care because you're not, you know, baseball.
No, I don't care.
Like, I care. So. Big fantasy baseball mind here. Love fantasy baseball. Don't even like baseball. Don't like baseball. Love fantasy baseball. How weird is that?
Keeper dynasty.
Well, you just love gambling.
Keeper dynasty fantasy baseball is one of the greatest things you can ever do.
Keeper dynasty fantasy baseball is so much better than fantasy football. It's not close.
It's not comparable.
It's not comparable. It's 10 times as fun.
That's a lot more times.
I don't even like fantasy football anymore.
I don't like
the traditional leagues anymore.
Because fantasy baseball is so good that I don't even like fantasy football anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantasy football is so boring. It's like, oh, I'm going to, okay, whoever bids the most and whoever has the highest on the waiver wire gets the guy. Okay. Like that requires like no planning, nothing.
Yeah.
Well, if it was fantasy.
My star running back that I had in 3 out of 4 leagues decided to punch a gal in Cleveland in March.
Yeah,
all of a sudden I'm scrambling to find 30 points.
Yeah right. Yeah, exactly. good luck making
sorry
up for that
for her,
in a single
though.
Position.
Sorry for her, though. You know?
No, that sucks for her.
How about fantasy podcasting? Who would you guys take? I'd take Jason Concepcion, by the way. He'd be my pick.
Yeah, so you're okay. So we're going not podcast,
but I think
but
you
podcasters.
Gotta take, can you take The Ringer?
You got to probably take Joe Rogan. I mean, I don't personally like his podcast, but he is ubiquitous. So he'd put up points for you.
Mark Maron?
That guy is so pretentious.
I think Rogan is...
And he's not that funny.
Rogan is like the number one podcast, isn't he?
I think so. And he does like 3 hours a day. It's like a full radio show.
Whew,
that's a crazy. Lot of
that's
content.
Crazy. All right, guys. I think that's all the time we have.
This was fun.
Yeah.
This was a good one.
Yeah.
We're giving you guys a lot of content because we love you. And hopefully in your fantasy podcast league, you guys would take us first.
I hope so.
But that's all the time we have for this sports cast. We'll be back with a screencast tomorrow, so make sure you check that out. But other than that, thanks for being
it's kind of a screencast.
It's like a it is screencast, but it's gonna be year in preview, which is really fun.
Like,
so we did
what's
the,
coming.
Yeah, you know, we gave our awards for best of 2018, and damn, 2019 is gonna be stacked.
It's loaded
more so than 2018 for sure.
Yeah, so tune into that. It's a big one. It's a really fun episode. It's gonna give
Eric's just finding out about it.
Yeah.
It's going to give you your schedule of what you should be watching.
I'm guessing it's going to be fun.
And what you should be doing for the next few months. Well, really the next 12 months. So check that out. And thanks for listening to the Nord East Podcast.